A very good morning to you. David Sheehan with you here on Horizons. Today is the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we have a lovely show for you. Later on, we'll be talking about some of the poetry which will be featured in Just a Thought, and about a Samhain festival taking place in the diocese. But up first,
Frances Rowland, welcome to Horizons.
Thank you very much, David. It's good to be here.
Last week on Horizons, we had Bridget O'Connor on, who was speaking about some of her activities in her role as a lay pastoral leader. And the recruitment process has started again for more lay pastoral leaders.
It has indeed. People are always concerned about the future of their parishes. So as a diocese, 3 years ago, we made a decision to inaugurate the ministry of the pastoral leader. And I suppose the thinking is that in the future, there will be pastoral leaders working alongside the clergy in each of our pastoral areas who will be supporting, enabling and leading pastoral activities in the local areas. Already, we have 25 people who are commissioned, and you may be aware of the person in your own locality who may be involved in any number of activities. So, for example, some of our pastoral leaders are working predominantly in the whole area of pre-sacramental work. Others have been exploring youth ministry. Somebody's exploring financial compliance and how we support the church into the future. Others have been working in the whole area of pastoral care and that outreach to those who are no longer able to come to church due to age or infirmity.
That is something I found very interesting about the lay pastoral leaders, is that they have a very varied set of skills. So they have different interests of what they want to do in their communities, but also they're sort of drawing on their own experiences in their professional life and the things they've done before becoming a lay pastoral leader. So that everything they're bringing to their parishes is different in a way, but also they seem to be quite a close-knit group. And because they're such a close-knit group, and I understand they're still often in constant communication with each other, if anybody needs to draw on a skill set of someone else in the group, they have access to that. And they have the advantage of their cumulative knowledge, not just their individual knowledge.
That's exactly it, David. I suppose one of the real gifts is that people come with their own experience, their own knowledge, their own life experience. And all of that can be put at the service of the Lord. Like that's the gift of who each of us is individually. And if I was to put an image on it, I suppose it would be that of an orchestra. So we need all of the instruments in the orchestra and we need them all to flourish and play to their strengths. So you'll see if you look at the pastor leaders around the diocese, each of them is drawn to a particular area of ministry or where it meets both their own abilities and their own background, but also the needs locally. And that's really important. We need people who can serve what is most needed in a parish and in a church community at a given time. So that can often mean learning a new skill or developing a new side or another dimension to, a skill that somebody already brings with them. You mentioned also about them being close-knit, and I think it's one of the gifts I see among them. It also means that you've got colleagues with whom you can chat things out, you can explore things. You're not on your own in this ministry. So alongside working with the clergy in your own pastoral area, there are also people who are working maybe at a very similar project to yours, but in a different part of the diocese. And by doing that, they bring another dimension to your work. I suppose for me, it's a bit like the gift of being part of a pastoral team here in the diocese. Other people see things differently and they bring another insight to my work. Similarly, for the pastoral leaders, as they work with one another and work with us as a pastoral team, they bring insight and hopefully we all share the new pieces that come alive, the new insight, the realization that maybe we could try it a different way. It also gives courage because you can explore something, give it a try and look, if it doesn't work, okay, let's try something else. There's nothing worse than not trying because it might go wrong.
Yeah, and it reminds me very much, it's a bit of a tangent, but it reminds me of a lot of the season of creation work where there's new parishes getting involved, starting from complete zero, like Mill Street, who have the resources to draw on churches that have been doing it for many years, like St. Brendan's in Coorglan, who are very free with their knowledge, and they can encounter different problems, like we want to have plants, but we have no green areas, we're just a big concrete jungle. So the lay pastoral leaders remind me in that way, where everybody's at sort of a different level, and there's different parishes at different levels, so the knowledge is all sort of cumulative.
Yeah, I think what's really important too around the ministry of the pastoral leader is they are working alongside all of those in parish who are in ministry, and they're working alongside all the other ministers in parish. So I suppose what we have in our parish community are people who give of their time, of their giftedness, of their talents for the service of the community. They're not better or lesser ministries. What there are is a ministry that suits people at a particular time. So, you know, many people would say to me, look, I don't have that kind of time. If you're talking 4 or 5 hours in the week, both in terms of reading, reflection, class, in terms of getting involved in things in my local parish, I just don't have that time at the moment. And I kind of think that's absolutely fine. You know, it may be that you're involved in your parish in a different way, maybe as a Eucharistic minister or a minister of the word. You might be involved in children's liturgy or in the choir, something that takes a very clear amount of time. But I think there are times in people's lives, and maybe as people get that little bit older and children have grown up and people have a little bit more space, maybe in their role at work or wherever, that they feel, actually, you know what? I feel I have energy, I feel I have an expertise, I feel I have a wisdom I'd like to share, and this sounds like a project that might be something that would draw me.
If someone's listening and they're interested and they think that sounds like something I'd like to get involved in, what next step should they take?
Okay, so the first step I would ask them to take is check out our diocesan website. The brochure detailing everything about the ministry of pastoral leader is on the website. And if you take a look at that, then you might say, I have a few questions. Please contact me. My mobile number is up on the website. My email address is on the website. The pastoral centre number is on the website. Please make contact. If you're saying, I have a few questions, but I don't really want to put my head out there quite yet, maybe you might talk to the pastoral leader in your own pastoral area. So whether you want to do that first or talk to me first, either way, it's about having the conversation with somebody, and I suppose maybe exploring it further. There's no commitment in exploring it. And really, between now and the 22nd of November, what we're doing is exploring with people, is this an area that you might like to undertake? And then after that, what we'll be doing is offering people places, and then we will start in January 2026. So there isn't a huge window.
Yeah.
But I know that there are a lot of people who've already been reflecting on this, who had seen others get involved 2.5 years ago, had said, the time wasn't right for me, but when it comes again, do let me know. So this is the call out. If you are interested, if you're drawn to the ministry of pastoral leadership, if you feel that you would like to be involved in this way in your parish, and that you feel that you have the time and the capacity at this time to undertake this kind of training, we would love to hear from you. Please talk to us soon.
22nd of November. So that would be the hard deadline for applications.
It is. It is indeed.
So if anybody is interested, you have less than a month from this broadcast. I will do reminders in the future episodes of Horizons to let people know to get in before it closes completely. But if you are interested, do contact Francis.
Thank you very much, David. And I look forward to having really interesting conversations with lots of people from throughout the diocese. So please, from all of the 12 pastoral areas, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming on Horizons, Francis Rowland.
This is Leonard Cohen. If it be your will.
If it be your will that I speak no more and my voice be still as it was before, I will speak no more, I shall abide until spoken for, if it be your will. If it be your will, let a voice be true from this broken hill. I will sing to you from this broken hill. Oh. all your praises they shall ring. If it be your will to let me sing. Broken hill, all your praises they shall ring. If it be your will to let me sing. If it be your will, if there is a choice, let the rivers fill, let the hills rejoice, let your mercy spill on all these burning hearts in hell. If it be your will to make us well. Draw us near and bind us tight. All your children here in their rags of light, in our rags of light, all dressed to kill. If it be your will, if it be your will.
After the break, we speak about the inspirations for poetry featured in Just a Thought.